Good for you, man. That's great. All right, let's give people a chance to win a pair of tickets. Brandon doesn't need to win a pair of tickets. He'll be there. But you may not, as of right now, be there for the Eagles in Washington on Sunday. But you can be by listening to our show this week, Tuesday, that's today, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, at this time when we give you a name. Know the four names that are said, and you can win the tickets.
Courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
This is for the Eagles in Washington. Let's crank up a name.
And the name is...
Wilbert Montgomery. Now, I'm going to give you a hint here without giving away specifics. All four names you hear this week will be players that shined in an Eagles NFC Championship victory. Seltzer, I'm giving people a guidepost.
I think I could guess a name or two.
A guidepost. But it might not necessarily always be the best player in the game because I don't want to make it too easy and obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Wilbert for 80, the dude. So know the name Wilbert Montgomery, Friday at 8 o'clock, and make sure you listen tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday at 8 o'clock. And with the four names, you can, of course, win the tickets to the Eagles and Washington. By the way, independent of winning tickets or currently having tickets, do we know the price of these tickets? What are we looking at here? I mean...
Well, the tickets that we're giving away are...
No, I know that.
Several,
James, online, see if you can look that up, James.
They
I'm curious.
They go on sale today.
Yeah, they do. They go on sale today at 10 o'clock. Limited number of tickets, obviously.
Four per family.
I mean, I got to imagine we might be looking at like a 2,000 type deal this week. I mean, it depends, obviously, where you're seated. But this is going to be a pricey ticket this week.
As of right now, the cheapest I see, it looks like 600. So that'll probably go up when they go on sale, is my guess.
And that's way up, I assume, if it's the cheapest.
Yeah, very, very high up.
I mean, if you're talking about a great seat, it wouldn't shock me if it's... couple $1,000, so try to win them on our program here this week. Let me put it that way.
It's going
to
be the most expensive, like now. As soon as they go up, that's when they're the most.
Well, yeah, they might get more expensive after 10 o'clock passes, and the people that don't get them through the lottery system and
the resale, and then
away we go. All right, let's go to it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today. From the Tasty Cake Studio, Brandon Graham with us in studio. Let's talk to Eric in Mount Laurel. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well, Eric.
Great. So, BG, just a quick thing. Met you last year at your daughter's gymnastics competition. You took a picture with me. You were great, super gracious, amazing guy. I think you're going to play a huge role this week in getting the D-line and your teammates ready because Jalen Carter, they're going to scheme to double him. To triple him, however they can take him out of the game if they can, and to let your other guys know their role is going to be super important to get home to Jaden Daniels to make him uncomfortable to get things going. That's going to be a huge part of this week's game, I think.
Yeah, we just got to make sure we stay doing what we've been doing. I mean, but I like that's what we all been doing. We all been just being together, making sure that we carry out the game plan. Everybody know they going at JC, but as you know, it's other guys out there that got to step it up, and they have.
Yeah, it's really amazing what Jalen Carter's been doing. All right, Eric, give me a great scene in the snow.
This one I loved. It's an older movie, but Fargo, when that blood was going through the snow and on that wood chipper.
The wood chipper. Oh, that's another one I thought of at the top
that's
and didn't say.
Scene.
It's a great answer.
All right, Eric, good answer right there, bud.
Gross, but good.
Speaking of answers, Brandon, I don't want to put you on a spot of two people you're friends with, but I'm just curious. Is Jalen Carter better than a young Fletcher Cox? Because in all due respect to Fletcher, Jalen to me looks better than a young Fletcher Cox. Is that fair? I mean, is that...
I just say it's
something you want to tackle.
Two different body types, two different moves. The way Jalen Carter does it, I mean, he's just, he just got his move. I mean, he's sticking with it. He's out there. I just say they're different. I mean,
but tremendous power, also, right?
Yeah, it's a rhino. He a rhino for real. Because you got two guys getting pushed back, and I know they over there saying, "Dang, he play every play like this." So I'm just amazed at that part. He play every play, and he's out there just going. And you gotta account for him because he coming every play. And
sure.
That's just a credit to his shape, credit to Coach Hunt, because Hurt. he is somebody that I really feel like is getting him going to, getting him focused, because I know Jalen's starting to see the light of, man, where he could go. And so I think he's going for it right now.
Unbelievable how good he's been. It really is. Let's talk to Ed calling from Phoenixville. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, team. Good morning, BG.
Morning, Ed.
You're not related to one Mason Graham from Michigan, are you? Same number, same last name? I'm kidding.
No, that's funny though, because we on different sides of he and Cali, and I'm in Philly, East Coast, West Coast.
Yeah, he's a hell of a player. But anyway, so I think that, I don't think it's an irony, but I think probably the best thing for the best way to kind of combat Jaden Daniels is to keep him off the field.
How about what Jaws said? His ribs. Go after his ribs.
Or not so much that, but just to keep him on the sideline and turn
the
then
out of him. Yeah.
Stay with the run games. And, you know, and I don't want to say ugly, but I guess as ugly as I've never seen such a aesthetically displeasing 70% completion percentage with no turnovers.
Well, it's because he doesn't throw it as many, and he holds the ball and eats it at times, and that doesn't change the completion percentage or the quarterback passer rating, but is an ineffective play. Look, Ed, one of the things that is a concern for this game, and I'm pretty confident in the Eagles' chances to win it, but the run game will be, I believe, compromised by Jalen's knee issue. And, you know, I think that the other team will make Jalen pull it and run it before they don't crash down on Saquon. I just think it's common sense. I mean, crash on Saquon and force Jalen to prove that he can effectively run. And, you know, if Jalen's not keeping it then and running, then we're going to know the knee is, like, definitely a problem.
Well, you can also keep it and throw.
You can keep it and throw. But you're limiting, you're reducing the offense.
And the leg is it's his plant leg, which, you know, if you're going to try to, you know, really.
Well, it depends which direction he goes, I guess.
But it's still your plant.
He typically goes to the left, right, John? Am I remember? Well, sometimes.
Talking about
last game he went to the right.
The pocket.
Well,
a lot of times you'd think they would want him to roll right after the play fake. It's more comfortable for a quarterback on play action to roll
right-handed
while throwing.
Yeah,
if he's righty.
I just feel like there are more keepers through the years to the left. I could be wrong. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think so.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, it does mess up a defense, I guess, tendency-wise, if you run a keeper to the left, because it's not as easy for a quarterback to do that.
All right, Ed, give me a great scene in the snow in honor of the Eagles' glorious victory the other day.
How about the snowball fight in Elf where Will Ferrell is peppering kids?
Already said.
Maybe the wrong kind of snow, but say hello to my little friend from
Great.
Very
well
creative.
Done, dude. That was funny.
Nothing like cocaine. Good morning to you. Joe DeCameron, John Rich. That's a pretty good answer right there. All right. So
that's a pretty good drop, too.
James, you're pulling that one.
Of course.
Yeah. Didn't I say years ago I love cocaine?
Yeah, you've got a couple cocaine lines over the years.
Nothing like cocaine.
Another one right there. We can totally misuse that.
Yeah, I got all this.
Wow.
Thing.
Oh, my God.
How could you do that to yourself? I'm thankful, though.
Well, what are you going to do? All right. So, Brandon, good luck to you, man. I mean, you know, the town's behind you. We're all psyched and excited and pretty confident. You know, pretty confident.
I just look at it like, man, it's crazy how we go, you know, going for the first round bye, and then, you know, now everything had got to go through Philly.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty special, man, but we got to make sure we put our stamp on it by going out and get the win and then going out and, you know, that's where we at. Go take it all.
Finish it.
Mm-hmm. Finish the season.
All.
Two more, baby.
How many, Brandon, you have one child or two?
I have two. 85.
So, okay, your 8-year-old's a daughter, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Is she enjoying this more now that she's older and can understand it more?
Yes.
Is this vibing with her more?
Both of them, because it's just like the players that they get to see and meet. And I know my baby boy, you know, Saquon, being able to Jalen, and it's just like, it's cool. It's really cool to see them and the excitement when they see certain people.
Oh, that's
great, man.
Yeah.
Is your daughter a baller? Like when she, I guess our caller was talking about being at gymnastics.
Gymnast.
Is she a baller gymnast?
Hey man, she doing her thing. I'm loving, I'm loving the dedication already. And
wow.
Even on days where she's like, can I go to, you know, open gym? And I'm like, oh, okay. I say, you like to work. I
she's
like
doing it. Extra.
And they're already doing five days already. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
Holy cow. You know,
gymnastics is a, if you don't love it.
Well, that's no joke.
But we got one night.
I'm taking my daughter tonight. Tuesday nights we do gymnastics.
Yep. 3 hours.
Wow.
Wow, that's
three
that's hardcore.
Hours
per night.
Wow, dude, that is wild.
Wow.
And I'll just put this out there for John Ritchie's sake. That's longer than you guys practice in training camp, but you know.
Yeah.
But what's working is working.
Look like it worked pretty well.
Hey, Brandon, good luck Sunday, buddy.
I appreciate
it. All right, there he is, BG. Well, wonderful to be with you on a really special week in Philadelphia sports with the Eagles about to play in the NFC Championship game. Now, it is currently 10. Rhea is just, it just sounds ridiculous,
well,
right?
You see, I put the M as I go,
yes.
It's 10.
It is 10. It just doesn't sound right. And obviously outside, it is really cold. So layer up today if you're headed out, as I know many people will be. All right, Elliott Short Park shortly.
That album is 10.
Yeah, it's true. Good point. Yeah, it's from 10. That's weird. Nice.
If only Bo Derek was featured on the album cover, then we'd have, you know, full circle.
Then we will have
I think if Bo Derek were
Joe's
here in the studio, it would
nature.
Be, you know.
You don't know that Bo Derek's not in my basement. No, you don't. Like, you don't know that she's not.
That's Your so basement creepy. Is becoming very creepy.
I know it is. Especially because I don't have a basement.
I know.
That's what concerns me.
I know. I do have a bathtub, by the way. A lot of time in the tub lately. And I gotta remember to tweet from the top. Thoughts from the bathtub. Just putting that
Do
out.
You have to remember?
You know what's a weird thought?
Sure, go.
Ohio State winning the national title, how much tied into Philadelphia?
Downingtown, I mean, Will Howard.
Will Howard Downingtown. The prep was a defensive coordinator, someone from the prep, and Chip Kelly.
And Chipper.
Chip Kelly won the national championship last night.
Yeah, he did.
So, I don't really care.
And the Downingtown kid came off really well.
No,
and
he gave props
to Downingtown after the fact. That was cool.
And he's a tough kid, and congrats to his family if you're listening. He's a skilled player and went through a lot to get there. So congrats to him. All right, 215-592-9494. Speaking of someone from college football that relates to pro football, Nick Saban talked. You know, ESPN obviously had extensive coverage yesterday prior to the national title game. And in the midst of that, Nick Saban talked about the Eagles' victory from the other day, but also trying to develop Jalen Hurts, going back, you know, I guess 7, 8, 9 years at this point. Interesting perspective from Saban. Now, what we're about to play is after he had praised Jalen for his tremendous running ability and what Saban obviously saw from Jalen all those years ago. But an interesting perspective on how he was trying to coach Jalen up. And this really could tie into the NFC Championship game up ahead in a couple days. Here's what Saban said.
I think the one thing, and this is any athletic quarterback and every one of them, and when Jalen was with us, we would have team and 7-on-7. And I would say, you cannot run. You cannot scramble. You cannot. You have to throw the ball on time. And because these guys are so athletic, they see the rush coming and they think they can scramble and get out of it. And a couple of those sacks that he took last night, he took them because in normal circumstances, no snow, no bad knee, all that, he probably would have been able to escape and get away and make a play. And he's done that so much in his career, it's hard to tell a guy, hey, don't do that. But I was trying to train him to become a better on-time passer, you know, by not allowing him to do it in practice. And I think he improved in that regard, but he's still a great athlete, and those guys are going to make plays, and you can't take that away from them.
So Saban last night, and of course, I think the point in particular, he says you can't take that away from him, but what he's getting at is, but if this Sunday he can't do that much, then it's back to normal quarterbacking from the pocket, and what will he do there? We'll see. We'll see. You know, and I say normal, I mean more traditional, you know what I mean? So it's going to be a challenge if he is not able to run as much as he normally is, and I don't expect that he will be. We'll talk to Sirianni coming up in 20 minutes.
The,
you know what's going on with Jalen's knee?
Is almost as good as him running. So,
but not if they don't adhere to it.
Okay, I think they will adhere
I don't.
To it. Part
I don't.
Of the offense is the pull.
But if he
read.
Can't move,
but
if he can't
move.
The
threat is not there.
Yeah.
It's
like it's pretty
remains there.
No,
he keeps it. The first
it doesn't.
Time.
Not
yes,
if he's
it does.
Injured.
But if he can't move,
but if he doesn't keep it the first time,
linebackers still have to honor that.
I disagree.
Not if he shows that he can't move. It's a question about how healthy he is.
Yeah, I disagree.
I understand. understand. It's not as fast. They still have to stay backside if he keeps it.
Well, we disagree. Okay.
They still, you disagree that they have to hold backside?
If they know he can't move, they will adjust.
Yeah, they'll crash on Saquon.
It hurts our chances significantly, but his presence still, more than other quarterbacks, his presence still holds that guy, and it does help the run game.
All right, so Elliot shortly and Nick Sirianni in about 15 minutes. Henry right now in Philadelphia. Good morning, Henry.
Good morning. How y'all doing today?
Doing well, Henry.
Fantastic, man. Very excited.
Beautiful, beautiful. I really diehard Eagles fan all the way. I ain't gonna say I like our chances. I love our chances, especially going into the Super Bowl and everything. We're like 94% healthy. A couple of more key players come back, we're gonna be 100%. But right now, I love our chances.
I think it is right that the Eagles are the favorites to win the Super Bowl. I think that is wise by the odds makers and the early bettors. I think that's the way it should be. In part because Washington's the weakest team remaining, and that's who the Eagles face this weekend.
I don't want to put nothing past Washington because they look real good. They knocked off the number one seed, even with the five turnovers that Detroit had and everything. They're still a threat. They're the only ones that are standing in our way of getting to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And now, this championship game is a tiebreaker because we broke bread 1-1 back in the regular season. So right now, this is a tiebreaker. Whoever wins this game, going to the big dance. But my main concern is Jalen Hurts with his knee. Now, what makes you think that other teams didn't notice that?
It doesn't matter about the other teams. It matters about Washington. That's the only team this weekend, and they know. So they're well aware.
They could just play. I mean, they could play dirty. They could play dirty and go for his knee and take him out. And then who are we going to be left?
Things like that happen. I will always believe that it was a cheap shot on Donovan McNabb when he got knocked out of the 0-3 NFC Championship game. It was a cheap shot. That big guy for the Carolina
guys
Panthers
try to hurt each other. Yeah. That's part of what you do.
I know.
I wanted to hurt everyone that I hit.
All right, Henry, give me a great answer. Best scene ever in snow.
Best scene answer. Okay, I'm going to say the day after tomorrow.
All right, and the scene?
The scene is when the weather came and all the destruction. Then it started snowing. You got the big.
We got you.
Yeah, it's like everything's covered in snow, like the whole world.
Got it. Fair enough. All right, let's talk some Eagles football with our next guest, Elliot Sher Parks. We're all trying to figure out what is going on with Jalen Hurts. Elliot is brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Good morning, Elliot.
What's up? How you guys doing?
I mean, psyched, super thrilled, excited, and ready to rock. But so, Ellie, let's just start with Jalen in the knee because it's where we just were.
Yeah.
What did you see from him after the game in private moments as he's walking? And what do you think the deal is? I mean, do you think it's an MCL sprain? I'm going to ask you 10 questions at once. When are we going to know what it is? Yeah. Is he going to practice tomorrow? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, so after the game, I didn't notice a limp or anything like that. He didn't have, like, you know, crutches or a knee brace or anything. So there wasn't anything after the game that I thought was alarming.
That's great.
I do think with this type of injury, it's probably something even they won't know the full extent of or how he feels until it is a day or two later. In my experience, what players say after the game is very rarely kind of how they feel 2 days later. Every player thinks they're fine after the game. It's a day or two later where they sleep on it and all that, and then you see how they feel. That all being said, I would expect Jalen to be out there on Wednesday practicing, and I would expect Jalen to play on Sunday. It's just a matter of, is he 100%? What can he do? What can he do? You know, God forbid, does he re-aggravate it during the game? So it's definitely something to think about, but I don't think it's something that'll keep him out of the game.
And what about Quinyon's shoulder?
Yeah.
We've heard positive things that he sounds confident that he can get out there, but what have you heard?
Yeah, again, like players in the locker room after always think they're going to be fine. I think back to Michael Kendricks a bunch of years ago telling me, yeah, I'll play next Sunday, and he was out 2 months. So, like, they just don't always know. I think with Quinyon, because I believe it's not like a muscle-type injury, maybe they would have a more clear indication of how he feels. Wednesday, again, a key day for all these guys. Or really, I should say Thursday. It feels like Wednesday they've been giving some guys off, giving guys rest. Thursday's been the day where everyone's got out there, been out there. So I would think Quinion has a good chance to play. I thought Isaiah Rodgers was pretty good, not to say that he's Quinion. Quinion's been outstanding. But I think if Isaiah Rodgers has a full week to practice, that he could be, you know, a clearly an above average player on Sunday.
I'm glad you think that. Elliot Shore Parks with us right now. Elliot, what was the mood in the locker room like after the game with that big win?
It was definitely celebratory. I mean, I think whenever you win a game like that in the snow, you know, to kind of, obviously for all of us, that roller coaster when they had the ball at the 13 was not a fun few minutes. But to go through that together as a team and come out on the other side, like that was an all-time type moment. And as much as we've all had these playoff moments like 2017, 2022, this is a new group of players. It's not even the same group of players as last year. So that Packers game the week before, as much as it was close score-wise, it felt like they were always in control. This past Sunday, I think for this group, felt like the first time where it really could have slipped away, and they held on and they won it, and I think it made them tighter as a group.
Yeah, and that's good to hear. Elliot, let's talk about the upcoming game as it relates to our Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Do more and get more in a 2025 Armin Chevy Trailblazer, starting at only $23,995. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. All right, Elliot, no one on the show here is with me, so I'm going to see if you are. Who should be the Eagles kicker versus Washington, Jake Elliott or the best available free agent kicker? Needless to say, I'm ready to move on. Love Jake. I'm just ready to move on for the next two day games. Stash Jake for next year. Theoretically, even stash him for the Super Bowl if the kicker you bring in fails in the NFC Championship game and you win. But I just can't. I don't need another Craig Kimbrel situation. We all saw a good Kimbrel become a bad Kimbrel. And the Phillies over-rely on him in the playoffs, and it cost them a season. I don't want to see that mistake again. Who would you have as the kicker?
So I respect you sticking to this bad take week after week. But
he misses kicks every week.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. They're not going to replace him. They're not going to replace him before the Super Bowl. Could he end up missing a kick in next week or the Super Bowl? Of course he
That could cost them the season.
You're right.
Okay.
He will be the one kicking. I promise you that. So while I think your concern has proven to be fair, he missed two extra points last week. If he makes those two extra points, they're driving for the tie and not driving to end the Eagles season. So I do think your concern's fair. But I also think that he has made some clutch field goals as well.
Yes, like, that's right. That's right.
He made one in the fourth quarter. So I get your point. I get your concern. I think Craig Kimbrel is like an awesome analogy for this. But it's just a problem that they're not, like, they're just going to have to cross their fingers and hope. I also think you've seen them somewhat coach a little differently around Jake Elliott.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like,
yep.
Punting inside the 50, going for it on fourth and four. Like, there have been times, I think, where you, in the past maybe they would have kicked it. But it is going to be Jake Elliott kicking.
I'm told that Washington's run defense has gotten better now in these last couple games in the postseason. But the Commanders had the third worst run defense in the NFL during the regular season. And I saw that, it's 302 yards they've given up over two games. Granted, one of those, there was a Jameson Williams, I think there was a long run.
Yeah, 61-yarder.
That kind of skews things. How much better is their run defense? How much should the Eagles be concerned?
They've definitely improved. I mean, they got Jonathan Allen back, who's been playing better. And I think a lot like the Rams last week, they've improved. I would just say that you could tell me the Eagles are going to face a run defense next week that hasn't given up a single yard rushing all year, and I would still have confidence that this rushing attack could put up 150 yards on them. I mean, we're talking about one of the best rushing attacks we've ever seen. So they are playing better. And I think in that first matchup all the way back in week 11, that the Washington actually did some good things in trying to slow down Saquon. But I just think the way this offensive line is blocking and the way Saquon is running, like, I will gladly face a team that's better against the run and worse against the pass, because I know the Eagles can run on anybody that's across from them.
Hmm. Elliot, do you think the coaching staff is frustrated Jalen keeps holding the ball? I mean, they keep publicly taking his back, as they should. But privately, don't you think it drives them nuts?
Of course. Absolutely. I think it drives the offensive linemen nuts. I think it drives the receivers nuts. It's just he has been holding onto the ball too long. Now, I do think some of the sacks from the past game, like rewatching all of them yesterday, they're not all his fault.
Agreed.
Like, there are times where he's at the top of his drop and someone's already in his face, or he's at the top of his drop, no one's open. So things like that are happening, but it's his job to make sure that he gets rid of the ball and he's not sacked. I thought the safety was a perfect example of where maybe it's not fully his fault. Like, the guy on the Rams made a great play. He got to Jalen, but ultimately Jalen, he's in what, his fifth year now? Like, he has to be able to not take a safety there when the ball is snapped from the 8-yard line. So I think there's definitely frustration with how he holds onto the ball. I just think in general there's frustration with how the passing game is going, and Jalen is the root problem of that. But yes, I mean, for sure. Like, there is frustration, and he has to be better this Sunday.
Yeah. Elliot, last thing I got here, Brandon Graham. So we had him in studio about a half hour ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, coy on whether he'll play or not, and I totally get it, totally respect it. And it seems like more like a Super Bowl possibility than a this week possibility. But just from what you hear, how real is the possibility that he could get back out there this season?
So I think it's real that he could play in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's, you know, almost 3 weeks away from now, because they had to have that full week in between, which could end up being big. It's not a lower body injury. It's, you know, in theory, he could retire at the end of the year. It's the offseason regardless, even if he doesn't retire. I just can't imagine a world where he doesn't want to try to suit up for that game. Having done the Brandon Graham show with him the last few weeks, like, you just sense and feel that he is working for that goal.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a goal that will be, you know, he won't get. I think the team will let him play. So I think he could be out there for sure. I think it's a real possibility.
I'll say this, though. You have to trust that he's got the power to be effective. You know, you can't just put someone out there because he wants to play. I mean,
they wouldn't put him out there.
I agree.
Yeah, I
if
think
he's ineffective.
Only play three or four snaps. I'd be surprised if he gets out there in any real. I mean, look, to be honest, you could just make Bryce Huffman active at this point.
I mean, Elliot,
he didn't play at all, did he, Elliot?
Elliot has
zero snaps.
One snap in the playoffs. So it's not, I mean, you could easily replace him, give
all right, Elliot.
Of course.
Idea. Here we go. You ready? Bryce Huff inactive. Two kickers for this game.
There you go. Whatever makes you happy.
That's such a joke. You know what? We cannot waste a spot on an extra kicker.
I'm just
that
telling
is
you.
Such a,
one guy for short field goals, one guy for long field goals.
You mean an extra point kicker? Just bring in an extra point specialist.
One guy for extra points.
Or we could just, like, take a penalty, and then, you know, the kicks will be longer.
Maybe all right.
That'll psych them out.
I know. Elliot, stay web, pal. We got Nick Sirianni coming up in 5 minutes. Thanks, Elliot.
Sounds good.
All right. 215-592-9494. You know, we started the show today talking a lot about, if you don't, well, two things really. One is to continue to take reaction from the game 2 days ago. I don't want to just move on. I'm being honest. Like, it was too thrilling a victory to just, like, all right, we're on to Washington, because it was too big a game. So I'm not totally on to Washington yet. If you were there, if you want to comment on the exhilarating win, the nerve-wracking elements, the whole deal, one of the great Eagles wins, obviously, in a long time. Phone line's there for you, 215-592-9494. The other thing, and especially if you were there, I'd love to hear the experience in the snow and as you experience it. The other thing is then looking ahead, and not just to Washington, but to this reality. If you don't know, the Eagles are the favorites to win the Super Bowl. Here are the betting odds as of right now. Eagles plus 180, Chiefs plus 210, Bills plus 260, Washington plus 800. Which one main translation from that, it just goes to show that Washington is definitively viewed as the weakest team, and the Eagles should win on Sunday. So, John, I love that the Eagles are favorites, and I think it's the right thing. I think it's the way it should be. I think it makes sense.
Of course. It makes sense that we have the best odds to win it all because we're the best team. And this time of year, you run the football, you win football games. The run game travels in the cold.
Yeah.
The run game dominates, and it matters, and it changes everything, as we've seen this season. I hope that everyone understands that. Defense this time of year matters. Defense wins championships. Play great defense, and that travels too. And then this is where the Cinderella crap ends, and the best team wins. And the Commies, the Commanders, yes, it has been a Cinderella season. They've done a lot more, much respect for the way that they've been able to turn things around. But they can't stop us, and we're better and bigger and stronger and tougher and faster than everyone else, and I'm very confident in our style of football. They should fear us, and I'm giddy about it.
That's awesome. All right, so Eagles-Washington on Sunday, the first of the two conference title games. Let's go back to the phones. Nick Sirianni with us shortly. Phone calls right now, 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Salvatore. Good morning, Salvatore.
Morning, team. Morning, Graham. How are you?
What's up, Salvatore?
As you're saying, Graham, BG's out.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
He was here for half an hour. 7:40 to 8:10 every week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I was at that game on Sunday. Great game. I was there with my 13-year-old. Great experience. I just couldn't watch that last try. 4th and 11 got me nervous, but he stood there. He hung in and gave me a big hug at the end.
Look, I got to tell you, that was pretty high up there, in my opinion, in Philly sports history for nerve-wracking.
So your 11-year-old was your rock, Salvatore?
13-year-old
yeah, was the...
My 13-year-old was my rock, man. He watched that last round, you know. And I turned around and gave me a big hug, and that was that.
So let me ask you a question. Burglar comes to the house, Salvatore.
Yeah.
Who is the defender, again, the primary stopper of the burglar? Dad or son, who's 11?
13. Well, you know what? It would be my 16-year-old. He's got brass ones there.
Well done, man. All right, Salvatore, give me a great answer. Best scene ever in the snow in a movie or a show?
I'm not sure if it was said yet, but I'm going to go with Rocky IV when Sylvester Stallone was training for the Drago fight. In
Siberia
Russia.
Training. So, like, up to the mountain, all the way up to the mountain, and then screaming Drago's name.
Drago, yes, sir.
Yeah, that's good.
There's no easy way out.
I like that. That's a good answer.
I love that scene,
so, the whole
man.
Training scene.
The training Siberia montage.
Yeah. You know what I've noticed, John? I don't know if Sirianni's going to join us in 20 seconds or 2 minutes.
Uh-huh.
We seem to stumble into Rocky talk right before Sirianni quite a bit.
I wonder if that's maybe because Rocky talk happens all the time on the show.
Yeah, it's really not unusual.
And there's also some Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi discussion.
Do all Philadelphia parents still get their kids to watch Rocky by like the age of 8?
I think so.
I hope so.
I took a little while.
It's instructive.
Did you?
Know, but eventually, because I felt bad, I was like, all right, I really got to show them this.
Yeah.
But, you know, no, Devin and I sometimes make fun of you guys behind your back.
I know.
That every answer for anything we do could be answered by Rocky, Star Wars, or what's the other one? Titanic.
Yeah, I'm well aware. Believe me.
It's not Titanic.
I hear
the
whispers.
Titanic is him.
Rocky and Star Wars. You're Star Wars. Everything you answer, John, is Star Wars.
Jack, maybe. I'll never let go, Jack. All right.
The Ice Planet Hoth.
Titanic is a great movie. All right, the Eagles are a great team. They got a shot to win it all. The next game, of course, against Washington. The last game, nerve-wracking, exhilarating, phenomenal. About that game and more, let's talk to the Eagles head coach as the Birds continue to march on. Of course, the Eagles in Washington on Sunday. And congratulations goes out to the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Nick, congrats on the win. I mean, what was the experience like for you coaching in that game? The crazy weather, the adversity, the intensity, pulling it out. What was it like to coach in a game like that from your perspective?
You know, we treat every game exactly the same. I know that's boring, but we treat every game exactly the same. Now, that doesn't mean that when the snow's on the ground, it doesn't bring you back to childhood memories of how cool it would be to play and coach in those days or in those things, but and in those elements. But we went about our business, played the game how we needed to play the game to win, and it's fun. You know, it was a great win, and it's kind of cool to see the guys, you know, celebrating in the snow after they make plays, and all it did is make us hungry to get another one.
Nick, in a fourth quarter scenario like what it became in the final couple minutes, do you have time to be nervous? And what I mean by that is, like, millions of us were living and dying with every play. We don't have to call signals or, you know, substitutions. Like, do you have time? Do you feel nervous in moments like that? Or do you just have to stay so locked in that that perspective doesn't even enter your mind?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think, your nerves come before the game. Once you get in the game, you're in your routine. You're in the things that you do. You go through your process, so your mind is locked in on, it can't be locked in on being nervous, because you're locked in on what you have to do and what the guys are doing and how you need to win the football game. Now, to that, you know, my brother was talking to me and said, you know, I just walked around the city for about, he wasn't at the game. He was in with his daughter in Columbus, Ohio. He's like, I just walked around the city of Columbus for the last 2 hours pacing because I couldn't watch the game. So I think that's more of a, you know, a spectator thing, I think, at the end of the day, because, you know, you have to be so locked in and focused on what you have to do to help your team win, playing, coaching, everything. And so you don't have time to do that. And so, you're just locked into the moment at the end of the day.
Nick, we watched Jalen Carter locked in, and he's just good beyond good, like legendary good. How different is it coaching a guy like that, a legendarily good guy?
Yeah, you know, he made some huge plays in that game, and it just in huge moments. He's special. And I think the things that, obviously, he's highly talented. And with his athletic ability, with his size, with his, you know, everything. But what goes unnoticed, I think, sometimes is his football IQ and his football instincts. I think that takes him to another level of, you know, the type of player that he is. He just has great instincts to where the football is, how to get to the quarterback, how to get to the quarterback on a single team, how to get to the quarterback on a double team, you know, how to take the football away. And I think those things are the things that have made him, have a special year. And he just continues to get better. Again, you combine talent with toughness. You combine talent with football instinct. You combine talent with, you know, loving the game of football. And you're going to get a guy that continues to get better. And I think that's what we're seeing with Jalen.
Yeah, you talk about instincts, and then you can talk about study. And what we saw from Jalen was changing the play at the line of scrimmage. You know, our quarterback is studied up and getting in the right play at the right time. Coach, if you had to guess, what percentage of the time does Jalen end up changing stuff up at the line of scrimmage?
You know, quarterback has to do a lot at the line of scrimmage. He has to get the protection call from the offensive line. He's got to change things there. You know, sometimes it's not just changing a play. You know, sometimes it's changing, you know, the direction the line may be going
sure.
in. You know, and so that's pretty standard. And I think that, you know, he does a lot of things well to get us in and out of plays. And I think that's, you know, that's really a tribute to Jalen. And how his mind works at the line of scrimmage. And so he's just done a great job of helping us get in and out of right plays to help us, you know. I know, you know, there's run looks that he gets us into a certain look that allows those to go for a big play. It's never just one person in this game that makes big plays happen, right? It takes everybody. It takes the entire team. And that's what's so cool about football. And Jalen's doing a really nice job of getting us in and out of plays.
And I agree. And we saw a lot of him doing the conservative thing in this game, changing the plays, but doing conservative things. And it felt like he was eating it so often against the Rams. Why did it feel like he was eating it instead of throwing it away more often than not?
You know, Jalen's made so many plays, extending plays. And I think that sometimes, you know, you see a sack and you're like, man, the sack, that killed us, that sack, right? And it's never just one thing of why a sack happens, right? There's many things that contribute to a sack. But Jalen knows he can get out of a lot of things, and he has gotten out of a lot of things, meaning he's been able to extend plays so well, you know, and extend plays and throw the ball down the field, extend plays and run the ball down the field. Sometimes those get overlooked. Okay, we took five sacks or whatever it was, seven sacks in the game. But how many times did he extend the play and make a bigger play out of it that if he would have thrown it away, it wasn't there? And so that he has this ability, this uncanny ability to do that. And you never want to take that away from a guy. Now you don't want to take a lot of sacks either. So there's a fine line in that. But he makes way more plays than sacks taken. So again, you live with that a little bit, and like I said, I just can't say enough good things about how well Jalen's playing and taking care of the football and getting us in and out of plays, making big plays in moments that we need it, big runs, big throws. You don't win 16 games in a year and your quarterback not playing efficient, solid football, and I think that's what we're seeing.
Nick Sirianni here with us right now. Nick, more on Jalen. How's the knee? And do you expect him to practice tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, that we obviously play that each day. You know, I know he'll do everything he can do to be at his top strength. I know he's a warrior. I know he will get himself ready to go. And we'll see tomorrow. We'll see tomorrow where he is and where the rest of the guys are when we get there.
Are you preparing game plan-wise confident that he will definitely play, or is there some uncertainty there?
Yeah, you know, you prepare for everything. He came back in the game, played in the game. We're preparing with him being the quarterback, just like you go through each week. So, like I said, we'll see tomorrow where everybody is, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, Quinyon Mitchell, do you get a sense yet on his status?
We'll see.
No, I know.
We'll see tomorrow, and I hate not answering your guys' questions.
I understand,
but I don't want to put. We're there. We're not there yet. You know, we play everything day by day, and
sure.
We're really hopeful. And I know again, Q's going to do everything he can do to get himself ready to go and be at top speed.
Nick, why does it feel like offensively the tempo offense seems to open things up for us?
Yeah, a couple different reasons for that. I'm not going to get into too much of that, but we've been successful at our tempo offense for the last couple years, and always been an emphasis for us of going fast. I think Jalen does a really nice job of playing fast at the line of scrimmage, getting the call, communicating the call to everybody, and defenses now has to. They have to react, right? They don't have time to huddle up. They don't have time to recognize formations. They don't have time to call out, hey, it's first and 10, or expect this, or expect that. They got to get the call in and get everybody on the same page there, and then react to the play. So it's just been something that I think that we've excelled at as an offense for, the last couple of years. And, Jalen does a really nice job. When he's at the line of scrimmage.
So much goes into getting ready for these games. The extra day of practice for the Commanders, how much does that help them this time of year?
You never know how they use that day. Did they use that day for rest? Did they use that extra day? Like, at this point in the year, you're trying to get everybody healthy to get to the game. So it might be an extra day of rest, but I'm not sure they get an extra day of practice. I mean, we'll see how that goes. We'll see. They have to put out a report anytime they practice anyway, so we'll see what they do with that. I think we had an extra day going into L.A. They have an extra day going here into the L.A. game. They have an extra day here. We'll be ready. I know they'll be ready.
Nick, you sticking with Jake Elliott for Sunday? Obviously, a lot of missed kicks lately. You sticking by him?
Yes, for sure. For sure. He's 6 for 6 in the playoffs on field goals and in adverse conditions. I got a lot of faith in Jake, and I know he's clutch when we need him to be clutch.
Does he have confidence issues?
No, I think Jake is pretty solid. I think if to see a guy miss a kick and then come back, I think it shows the exact opposite, actually. Like, to see a guy miss a kick and then come back under those circumstances and the conditions. Again, we'll never use the conditions as an excuse, but the conditions were the conditions. It's going to make it more difficult for any kicker to kick the ball. And I think it showed, again, like I said, it shows just the opposite. He misses an extra point early in the game and then nails 3 field goals. So I think it shows just the opposite, that he is able to put the next, embrace the adversity, put it in the past and play the current play. And that's what I love about Jake.
Sure. And facing Jaden Daniels, up and coming young quarterback, what makes Jaden Daniels so good?
Yeah, obviously he's having a phenomenal year. We've seen it, watching it from afar. We've seen it in person, and this guy's a really good player. As we all see, I think he does a good job of being able to extend plays. He does a good job of reading plays out and being accurate with throws. It looks like he's a good player. He's a really good player, and we'll have to be ready to contain him in this game.
Nick, final thing here. I know you like to keep it very similar week by week. I'm curious if demands on you have increased yet with the team deeper in the playoffs now? I mean, we know Super Bowl week, things are just, you know, wildly different. Have things kicked in yet in a different way, media-wise and otherwise, that create, you know, differences for you?
Yeah, you know, we keep, like you said, we keep it similar. I think I have one more press conference this week than I normally do. I think that's the rule, is that I got to do one on Thursday. So instead of Wednesday, Friday, I got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we'll keep it at that.
Gotcha. Yep. All right, Nick, good luck on Sunday. Needless to say, you got millions of people behind you and your squad for this game, and the city's really excited and proud of what you guys have accomplished, and the absolute best of luck for the game Sunday versus Washington.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, you got it. There he is, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni. All right, 215-592-9494. Well, the one newsworthy thing from there, sticking by Jake Elliott. It's just flat out, immediate answer.
And that they're planning to have Hurts this week, more or less. I mean, he didn't say it exactly, but he was like, you know, all's normal, you know, kind of.
Yeah, but he also doesn't.
He finished the game. That's a huge
deal. Yeah, I didn't read it quite the same the way you did, James. I certainly expect Jalen
to play.
That's the way
I heard it.
Okay. Well, listen, we'll see.
It doesn't sound like he's worried. And I mean, the way I look at that is, this time of year, everyone really does hurt in some way. It's the playoffs, and people have all sorts of injuries
I think Jalen's
they're
playing.
With.
Yeah, I think we...
He's going to play.
Well, he's going to play.
And I think he's going to look fine while he plays. And I think he will run, and I think he'll run fast. I think he'll break tackles. I hope he finishes
in a
responsible way and doesn't finish forward where his head could get hit. But I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised with the way he can move.
All right.